our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. A congregation, let us sing of Psalter 65, and the stanzas 1-4. Grace and truth shall mark the way, where the Lord his own will lead. If his word they still obey, and his testimonies heed. And what follows, Psalter 65, the 4 stanzas. Thank you. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Luke 18, the verses 9 through 30. First, we will read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Luke 18, the verses 9 through 30. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And they brought unto him also infants, that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto him and said, suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, shall in no wise enter therein. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good, save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, all these have I kept from my youth up. And now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing, sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they that heard it said, who then can be saved? And he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Then Peter said, lo, we have left all and followed thee. And he said unto them, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or parents, or brethren, or wife, or children, for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time, and in the world to come, life everlasting. Thus far the scripture reading. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Lord, that it has pleased thee by renewal on this holy day of rest to gather us under the means of grace, then the day already is far spent, and may the prayer, the request of those travelers to Emmaus, may that be ours, where they have constrained thee, and thou hast dwelt with them. Lord, thou knowest how poor that we are, but we have sung together that thy mercy is great, and may it please thee in this evening to look down upon us and our children, poor sinners, and the Son of thine eternal love. Then we are also so poor when we attempt to draw nigh unto thee, unto thy throne of grace, by renewal on this holy Sabbath day, poor in petitioning and poor in thanksgiving. Then it is not because of lack of reasons that we ought to thank thee, because they are so manifold. The psalmist of old has declared that they could not be numbered, and so it is with us and our children. Oh, may it please thee to grant thy Holy Spirit, and that out of a true need, with a deep impression of our sinnership, and yet with eyes of faith upon thee, that thou art able to do more than we ask or think, as it is written in thy holy word. Ah, Lord, wilt thou grant a humble and a broken heart, and may we receive something, that is the work of thy Holy Spirit, as we have heard out of thy holy word, that the publican in the back of the temple, he is smitten upon his heart, he has experienced and that out of that heart proceed all kind of evil and of sins, and that his prayer was short, but it was real, it was sincere. God, be merciful to me, a sinner, Lord. Then it is the work of thy Holy Spirit to make people sinners. Oh, it is true. We are all great sinners, but now to be given to live it in and to experience it and to receive that sincere sorrow and a prayer unto thee, the living God, Lord. We humbly ask thee, bless thy word in this evening hour. May it be for true conversions. Wilt thou spare that we build not upon sandy foundations? And wilt thou remember thy children also in the way of sanctification then in this evening hour? Then once more we hope to dwell at the foot of Mount Sinai, may it be blessed by thee. Wilt thou bless the manifold means of grace amongst us? The prophet of old has declared, what more could I do to my vineyard that I have not done unto it? Thou can say the same to us. Lord, bless the means of grace in the church. Wilt thou remember, strength and help and encourage the consistory who is sufficient unto these things? May their eyes be upon the great office bear. Wilt thou bless the instruction to the youth, the catechism classes, the confession of faith class? Wilt thou bless the house visitation? Wilt thou remember fathers and mothers with the instruction of their children and the aforesaid doctrine? Then we have heard out of thy holy word, suffer little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. May they be carried upon the wings of prayer. May parents be given to beg of thee for help, and that the means of grace may be blessed. Remember our Christian school. Wilt thou remember all those that labor therein? Wilt thou grant thy gracious help when thy word may be opened? Make it a blessing for young and old, and may it please thee to continue to grant traveling mercies. Wilt thou remember thy church? And then in this week, it is a very special week, where a sister congregation, one of thy servants, hopes to be installed a special day, where a time ago the father was given to ordain a son in the ministry of word and sacrament. And now in this week, then the son hopes to be installed as father, that he may be united to the congregation as their shepherd and teacher. May it be carried upon the wings of prayer. May it be for the purpose of all purposes. May it be for the coming of thy kingdom and for the glory of thy name. Remember our theological school, the instructors and the students, also under different circumstances with the separation. Wilt thou in a special way remember the student who may speak an edifying word? May it please thee to add thy blessing. May the number of thy servants be increased, and also the need for teachers. May we be given to lay it before thee, that thou may graciously provide. Wilt thou uphold the persecuted church? Bless thy holy word among Jew and Gentile. We remember our mission field. Wilt thou remember thy servants stand on their right and on their left hand. Remember the team. Remember the young couple that is studying that foreign language. May thou make it easy for them, that in due time, that he may become a sower of the seed, and may it all be carried upon the wings of prayer, and may it all be performed in a holy dependency upon thee. Lord, by renewal we remember the manifold outward needs. We remember all the mourning ones, the elderly ones, the sick and afflicted, all under the doctor's care, the burdens and the crosses, may it all be used, and may it be sanctified, because with all the crosses, with all the afflictions, it shall do the one or the other to that end, and may it be accompanied by the work of thy Holy Spirit. O wilt thou bless the family circles, grant that love may abound between husbands and wives, between children. When it is not so, O wilt thou grant repentance, what has been separated, and may it please thee to bring it together according to thy word and according to thy institution. And now, Lord, in this evening hour, then by renewal, then we beg of thee that thou may grant thy gracious help. May the trumpet give a clear sound, and may it penetrate into the hearts. Wilt thou remember in church? Wilt thou remember in the dwellings? Wilt thou drive out buyers and sellers? And not only those temporal buyers, those worldly thoughts, but also in a spiritual way, and that in this evening hour, when we hope to consider the 10th commandment, that we may be given to learn in beginning, and more so, that salvation can never be purchased, that it is a cut-off matter, but now the wonder of grace, that thou wast thought out a way, that thou wast given thy dear Son, who was come in the fullness of time, who was satisfied, who has obeyed the law, who was sacrificed himself, who was merited that everlasting righteousness, which the Spirit grants to his people, and which they may embrace by a true saving faith, Lord. Wilt thou instruct us in those matters that are necessary as we continue our journey to that never-ending eternity? Oh, do bind the solemnity and shortness of life upon all our hearts, that there shall come a time for us and our children, that it shall be the last Sabbath day, it shall be the last sermon. Lord, wilt thou work lovingly and irresistibly by thy Spirit? Wilt thou take away everything that could be a hindrance? May our eyes truly be upon thee, and forgive us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 438, the stanzas 3 and 4. God's law, a perfect whole, is saving to the soul, and every secret tries, his testimony sure, which ever shall endure, will make the simple wise, and what follows. 438, the stanzas 3 and 4. in this evening hour with the help of the Lord, then we wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day number 44, the question and answers 113, 114, and 115. Question 113, what doth the 10th commandment require of us? Answer, that even the smallest inclination or thought, contrary to any of God's commandments, never rise in our hearts, but that at all times we hate all sin with our whole heart and delight in all righteousness. Question 114, but can those who are converted to God perfectly keep these commandments? Answer, no. But even the holiest men, while in this life, have only a small beginning of disobedience, yet so that with a sincere resolution, they begin to live not only according to some, but all the commandments of God. Question 115. Why will God then have the 10 commandments so strictly preached, since no man in this life can keep them? Answer, first, that all our lifetime we may learn more and more to know our sinful nature, and thus become the more earnest in seeking the remission of sin and righteousness in Christ. Likewise, that we constantly endeavor and pray to God for the grace of the Holy Spirit, that we may become more and more conformable to the image of God, till we arrive at the perfection proposed to us in a life to come. A Lord's Day number 44 that speaks of the conclusion of the law, with three thoughts. In the first place, the 10th commandment. In the second place, the experience confession. And in the third place, the profitable preaching. The conclusion of the law, the 10th commandment, as we find it in number 113. The experience confession in number 114. And the profitable preaching in number 115. Beloved congregation, once more, we may stand at the foot of Mount Sinai and hear what the Lord has to say unto us. Then we have already gathered many times at the foot of that mountain. Then we have heard the introduction, already 9 commandments. You can remember, children, that with the 3rd commandment, that there were 2 lords devoted to that commandment, the 2nd especially concerning the oath. And now in this evening hour, then once more we may dwell at the foot of that mount. And then we do well to consider and to examine each of our hearts, how it now has been in these past weeks. I read in Acts 18 in Corinth, that when Paul was beaten, that Gallio, he cared for none of these things. It's an awful place to be, congregation. One under the preaching of the law, that we remain as a Gallio. Are there those that have trouble with that Gallio? And has that now become our sorrow? Then we read in the scripture of many different people, different fruits under the preaching of his word and under the preaching of the law. We read of Israel and Judah when the prophets whom the Lord has sent has spoken and warned them, then they have said, speak smooth things unto us. And then we also read of the Pharisees, that they were self-righteous, that they thought they were much better than other people. And then when Jesus has preached the law, because we read specifically in Matthew 21, verse 45, that they perceived that he spake of them when they were taken out of their comfort zone. Then they were disturbed, and then they even became angry. We read of a Herod concerning the preaching of John the Baptist, that he heard him gladly, and that he did many things. Thus for Herod, that preaching of John the Baptist, that still had a certain effect. Then we read of a Cain in Genesis 4, when the Lord has called to him, that he has come to that confession that his iniquity was too great, his punishment was too great to bear. Thus a Cain, then he was given over to discouragement. We read of Ahaz when the prophet Isaiah came unto him, and under the special judgments and callings of the Lord, that he transgressed more and more. It is written, this is that King Ahaz. That is an awful place to be, congregation, the hardening of the heart. Then we have heard out of Luke 18 of that rich young man and ruler. Oh, it is true. He was exercised. He had an impression that he could not stay upon this earth, that it would become eternity, and that it was not well with him, although he has done many things. And then he has said, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And then Jesus, then he has recited the commandments of the second table, not the tenth, but the other five. And then in his ignorance, then he has said, all these things have I kept from my youth. And then Jesus has uncovered him further. Then with that further uncovering, then Jesus was given to point to that tenth commandment, thou shalt not covet, because he had many riches. And then when Jesus has said that he must sell it and that he must follow him, that he went away very sad. Thus that tenth commandment, that is for further uncovering and also further instruction. We read of King Ahab that on the battlefield, that there was a soldier from the enemy, that he has shot an arrow between the joints of the harness. What does that mean, boys and girls? Then soldiers, then they had armor, that when the enemy would shoot an arrow, that it would not penetrate their flesh. And now that armor, that was made perhaps of very hard leather or even steel, but children, you can understand it, that if that armor was in one piece, the body, the arms, and the legs, then such a soldier, then he could not run and he could not fight. And therefore there were joints in that armor. And now that soldier, when he has taken an arrow, then we read that arrow, that is went in the joints of the armor, of the harness, and that it is penetrated into the body of King Ahab. And then he felt that he was wounded. And then he said to the driver of the chariot, carry me out, for I am sorely wounded. And may it please the Lord, because when we speak of the commandments, then we can compare it to arrows of conviction, but also arrows of instruction. And now, young and old, how has it now been with those first 9 arrows? Are they now laying on the ground? And have they bounced off? Because by nature, then we have a breastplate of that hard heart and a head shield of unbelief in our ignorance. And then many arrows bounce off. And also, then we have that breastplate that we try to excuse ourselves and that we try to justify ourselves. As I read in Jeremiah 3 of Judah, then we have many excuses. And even as that Pharisee that stood in the front of the temple, when we have heard the law, that we have thought, but I am not the worst. There are many that are greater sinners than I. Oh, that those arrows, that they have fallen to the ground. Or have there also been people that have received wounds, scars, that those arrows were painful, and that we did not go home so easy, and that we came on our knees, and that we have asked the Lord for mercy, that our sins may be forgiven. But now in this evening, then the 10th commandment, that is as an arrow for deeper uncovering, that is an arrow, as it were, between the joints of the harness, that all excuses are taken away in the way of uncovering and in the way of sanctification, that the child of God, each time by renewal, that he becomes the publican in the back of the temple. Oh, the child of God, he learned both the Pharisee and the publican, and it takes so little. Oh, that awful pride, that publican, he comes to the place of the Pharisee in the way of pride, but each time by renewal, with the prayer of the publican, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And then we read in this Lord's Day, what doth the 10th commandment require of us? And then the answer, that even the smallest inclination or thought contrary to any of God's commandments never rise in our hearts. Then the instructors in the explanation of the 10th commandment, then they are also referring to the other commandments. Then it is evident in the answer that the instructors give, that the law of God, that it is exceeding broad. When we read the letter of the law, especially concerning the second table, when we read, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, then that commandment literally speaks of actions and deeds, although with the instructors, from the Heidelberg Catechism according to God's holy word. And then they have broadened out those commandments because we sin in thoughts and words and in deeds. And now for the further uncovering, then the instructors are given to speak not of our actions in the first place, but they are given to speak of our hearts. And when we read in this commandment of those desires and those thoughts, then the Lord in creation, then he has given unto mankind desires, then he has given good desires. Oh, in the state of rectitude, they were perfect desires, but now through our deep fallen Adam, then those desires, they have become so wrong. Thus, when we read in this commandment that we may not covet, then they are not, then the commandment does not speak of lawful desires, although this commandment speaks of desiring those lawful things in an unlawful manner. Think of a Rachel with that natural and with that good desire that she may be blessed with children. But then she has said to Jacob, give me children, else I die. Thus it is a privilege and a blessing when the Lord grants unto us and our children those lawful and good desires, because there are people upon the earth where their desires fail, that they are given over to discouragement, even nigh to despair. Thus, when we speak of lawful desires, does the scripture not speak that we are called to use our talents to an utmost? Although in the context of this commandment, then to also consider our lawful desires. What is now the purpose of those desires? Is it now all for self? Or is it also because we have heard of the sum of the lot to love God above all and our neighbor as ourself? Thus our desires, may they be placed, oh, what an examination in the context of the first three petitions of the prayer which Christ has taught his church. When we speak of coveting, then we may say it so, to desire to possess something which we do not have, do not need, but something that appears very desirable in our understanding. Thomas Watson, concerning this commandment and concerning our desires, then he has listed 4 points. In the first place, an inordinate love of what we possess. Then we come back to the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me, that anything may not come above and in between. Then in the second place, a greediness after more. We read in 1 Timothy 6, verse 6, that godliness with contentment, that is great gain. And now in this commandment, then we speak of, then the commandment mentions different thing, wife, house, then also an ox and an ass. Then we must understand it, children, in the time that the commandments were given to the children of Israel. Then with an ox, what did he do with an ox? Then they plowed and worked the field. Thus we could say in our day, the neighbor's tractor. And as ass, that was a means of transportation. We could say our neighbor's car, or anything that is thy neighbor's. Then it speaks to young and old. Thus the greediness after more. In the third place, then Thomas Watson has mentioned or when we repine at the providence of the Lord, or when as the children of Israel that we are given to murmur, oh, to not use what the Lord gives in the right way, with so little impression that the Lord grants so much more than we deserve. In the fourth place, then he is mentioned when we covet something at the expense of our neighbor that is detrimental for our neighbor. And then he has mentioned different points to examine our hearts concerning that coveting of the things mentioned in the 10th commandment. And then in the first place, he has mentioned whether all our thoughts, or nearly all our thoughts, that they are about gaining things of the world, and that God is not so much in our thoughts. This is Thomas Watson, then he comes very close to our heart, and then he comes to the point. In the second place, then he is mentioned, we are surely guilty of this coveting, guilty of the 10th commandment, when we take much more pains to gain the things of the world than to gain eternal life. Oh, what a close examination. Does our thoughts, what we do from day to day, what we are busy with, we must be diligent. We also have to come through the world, and how diligent that our people are concerning the temporal goods. But how is it now with that diligent for the saving of our soul? Then in the third place, then he is mentioned when all our talk and our discourse and our conversation is about the things of the world and not so much about the things of God. Then he says, then we are very guilty of this 10th commandment, that we are so busy coveting many things. Then in the fourth place, then he even says that we are guilty of this commandment, that we are willing to part with heavenly blessings and exchange them for earthly blessings. We have the example of Esau, when he came out of the field tired, and that he has changed, given up his birthright, blessings of the Lord, blessings from heaven, for a bowl of soup. Then in the fifth place, then he mentions unlawful means to obtain what is not ours. Thus then we have 5 points to examine ourselves of whether we are guilty of this commandment. Oh, when we covet, when we are guilty, and we are guilty of this commandment, then it is affront to God's holy attribute, to his wisdom, his power, and his kindness, where the Lord grants so many blessings unto the children of men. And then we read further that even the smallest inclination or thought contrary to any of God's commandment, then we are glad, congregation, that people cannot read our minds. Of course, boys and girls, then many times your father or mother, then maybe they can see what you were thinking. But how glad we are that people cannot read and see everything that goes on in this heart and in this mind. Then we would be so ashamed. But the Lord seeth all things. And now the instructor, even the smallest inclination or thought, does it not speak of the deed, but of the thought of the desire never rise in our hearts. But that at all times, we read that word all, three times in answer 113. All times, all sins, and then at the end, all righteousness. But that at all times, we hate all sin with our whole heart. What an uncovering and what an examination that at all times we hate all sin with our whole heart and delight in all righteousness. Then we can hear congregation as it were. This is the arrow that must penetrate between the joints of the harness, that all our excuses are taken away, that we become sinners indeed in this Lord's day. Then the Lord demands his image back, because the Lord has created Adam and Eve in knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. In the heart of Adam and Eve, in the state of rectitude, there was never the smallest thought, not the slightest inclination to evil, but with their whole heart, they were given to love the Lord, neighbor as thyself. Oh, it was the joy in the life of Adam and Eve to glorify their Creator and their benefactor. And that is what the Lord now demands back in this Lord's Day, because, but that at all times we hate all sin with our whole heart and delight in all righteousness. Thus in this Lord's Day, in this commandment, then the Lord does not only require a tree that there are not no evil fruits, but he demands a tree with good fruit, and then the root is examined, oh, young and old. Then we have heard it by renewal that we are all guilty, that we are all very guilty. And what a solemn thought, each of our sins, also concerning the 10th commandment, that is recorded in God's book. When we have become older congregation, and when it has not been blotted out, as I read in Colossians 2 verse 14, what a big and what a thick book it must be. And how is it now with those commandments? Have we learned to weep? Have we learned to cry? Have we learned to beg? Then it is clear, only one hope, that is the Lord's mercy. Our second thought, the experienced confession, number 114. But can those who are converted to God perfectly keep these commandments? Thus the question is not whether the natural man can keep these commandments, that we have heard already in Lord's Day number 2, question 5, whether we can keep the law perfectly. And then if you can remember, the answer is in no wise. But by nature we are prone to hate God and our neighbor. Thus it is not in the question whether the natural man can keep the law perfectly. Question is not whether it is required. That demand that lies upon each and every one of us. But now the question is, where the Lord is wrought by a spirit for a people that have come to themselves as that prodigal son, that they have learned the exceeding sinfulness of sin, all where they have tasted of the sweet and good things of the Lord, where they have received those other desires, with a David in Psalm 27, verse 4, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to inquire in his temple, and to behold the beauty of the Lord. Oh, for that people that has learned to hunger and thirst after righteousness, for a people that have looked in the mirror, oh, then in this evening hour, then we could say, to make it simple, boys and girls, it is true, with the former explanations, then the instructors, they have examined our thoughts, our words, and our deeds. But in the 10th commandment, then we could compare it to an x-ray. And when the doctor takes an x-ray of your body, then we are given to see in a picture what the natural eye cannot see. Thus the 10th commandment, that is given to uncover deeper. Do I not read of the prophet Ezekiel in chapter 8 that the command was given, dig deeper, son of man, and thou shalt find greater abomination. And now this question that also makes a separation. But can those who are converted to God perfectly keep these commandments? Congregation, may I ask you, have you now really tried it? Sincerely and uprightly tried to perfectly obey God's law. Ah, that you have begged the Lord, that dominion may not have, that sin may not have dominion over you, that you would be kept from temptation, because when the Lord works, and when we learn the exceeding sinfulness of sin, when we experience that separation, that we have brought ourselves into that far country, when we are given to believe that the wages of sin is death, then it becomes our desire that we may please the Lord, if it was possible, to never grieve the Lord no more. But can those who are converted to God, that must be the question, have we now become converted, was the question this morning, or whether we have come to ourselves, thus a separation does not speak in this part of gratitude about the unconverted, but it speaks about the converted that have experienced Lord's Day number 33, where it speaks of the true conversion of man. But can those who are converted to God perfectly keep these commandments? Answer, no. And then it makes a further separation among the converted. Then the instructors, they say, but even the holiest men, as we would say, the instructors are not speaking of a lot, although we read in Peter that he vexed this righteous soul. He lived not so easy in Sodom. How is it with us, congregation, when we see everything that has taken place in the world? Is our soul still vexed? Then we have not many reasons to place yourself above Lot. Then our instructors do not speak of a Samson that has kept company with Delilah and that eventually has fallen. But then the instructors are given to speak of the holiest of men. We could speak of an Enoch and of a Noah, word is written, recorded in the scriptures, that they walked with God. Or we could speak of those men of whom we read in Ezekiel 14, verse 14, that even if a Noah, a Daniel, and a Job had come before the presence of the Lord, it would not be sufficient to save this people. No, but even the holiest men, while in this life, we hope to hear later that the instructors are given to speak of eternity. Then the child of God shall be delivered from this flesh, because that old man is never converted, have only a small beginning of disobedience, but they do have a beginning, congregation. And we all know what our heart goes out after, and we know our desires. Oh, it is true that true people, they have to smite themselves many times upon the breast. They fall on many things, but they have experienced that they do have a beginning, but they have to confess that that beginning is small, and they shall learn that that beginning, that it is all of grace, that it is a blessing which Christ has merited for his church and which he grants to his people by the immediate working of his Holy Spirit, have only a small beginning of disobedience. But then the instructors add something, people of God, how quickly we are to excuse ourselves, and that we say, but here it is only a small beginning, and we live in a sinful world, and even blame it on our flesh, and that we remain upright, and that we are not as the publican in the back of the temple, each time by renewal, when a child of God thinks of that first time, when they came to themselves, when they were convicted, when they heard the law explained, then how troubled they were, how many tears were wept, and then they were not so satisfied with the small beginning. They have learned with that small beginning that they could not appear before the judge, that the justice of God is a perfect obedience. How they have striven, how they have begged, that they may satisfy the justice of God. No, then they were not satisfied with a small beginning. Then they shall learn that the Lord requires a perfect obedience. But alas, alas, then it can be later when we become lukewarm and not so exercised. We are still reformed, and that we still speak very reformed, and it can sound all pious, and that we can say, but there is no perfection here below, that the Lord has laid away for eternity, and that we can say it, that her heart is as cold as a stone, and that there is not sorrow. And to that end, the instructor to stir his people up and for examination, and that he may become ashamed, yet so does not resting and even satisfied with a small beginning, yet so that with a sincere resolution they begin to live. That word sincere, that means genuine, upright. That word we have also heard in the explanation of the true conversion of man, a sincere sorrow and a sincere joy, thus for examination, yet so that with a sincere resolution they begin to live, not only according to some, but all the commandments of God. What a precious answer. And in the life of the child of God, because here it goes, it is true in the context, the law in the way of sanctification, but then for the true child of God, it is for further and deeper uncovering. It is for a shaming, but it is also for encouragement, because that is now the life. Oh, when faith may be an exercised, when it may be lively, then it is for such a child. Ah, then they are glad with the omniscience of the Lord. Lord, thou knowest all things. Oh, it is true. Peter has ruined everything in that hall of Caiaphas. But then it Peter was given to declare, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Then the instructors point to a close, a tender, and a dependent life. Let us first sing. Psalter 435, the stanzas 1, 8, and 9. My soul with holy awe remember the Lord in brightest majesty. At Horeb's mount gave there his statutes and spake these words to hear and see. And what follows, 435, 1, 8, and 9. at the conclusion of the law, at the 10th commandment, at the experience confession, and now in the third place, the profitable preaching. Then upon the answer of number 114, then the question is, why will God then have the Ten Commandments so strictly preached, since no man in this life can keep them? That's not the question that is asked, or whether the law must be strictly preached. Think of John the Baptist when he has come to the River Jordan, and when he has preached to the multitude, then how strictly he has preached the law. Then he has even said to that people that the axe is laid at the roots of the tree. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Then how strictly that the Lord Jesus Christ, that he has preached the law in the Sermon on the Mount, then he is not only spoken of deeds, but also of words and even of thoughts. How strictly Christ has preached the law to the Pharisees. But now the question is, since there is not one amongst us, and then it is true in the context, it speaks of converted people, but also concerning unconverted, then the thought can arise in our heart when we hear these things, that we can think, what is now the use? What is even the use to try to pray, to use the means of grace? Nevertheless, let us remember that the Lord has not only decreed and appointed the end, but he has also appointed the means to the obtaining of that end. And Reverend Hellenbrook, then he has written in his question book that the exhortations and promises that the Lord uses them, that they may operate upon our rational mind, and that the Lord may bless them. And now what a precious answer that our instructors have given. Oh, it is for the people of God, my unconverted fellow travelers. May you go home and say, Lord, and now we have heard a few questions, and that was given to speak of the true people of God. And now I am still unconverted. Well, to grant those living desires, that I may be given to hunger and thirst after righteousness, that I may be given to love thy law and everything that pertains to it, and that I may be converted as God's people, and that I may receive that small beginning with those sincere and vehement desires, that I may please thee, O convert me, as thou hast converted all thy people. But now, in the way of sanctification, first, that all our lifetime, and when the instructors say all our lifetime, that is every day, not only once in a while, but that it may be used continually. Then this answer, then it should incite the child of God to pray, Lord, well, to grant more of thy Spirit, that I may be more exercised with these most holy things, that thy name may be glorified first, that all our lifetime we may learn. Thus, when we come on the school of Jesus, then we never graduate. Then we continue to learn. We have much to unlearn and also much to relearn also this answer. And it is a blessing when the Lord grants a little further and deeper instruction. First, that all our lifetime we may learn more and more to know our sinful nature. That is the first point that the instructor speak of, that more and more that we may learn our sinful nature and the necessity each time of that repentance, but further, and thus, because of that further uncovering and because of those arrows, and thus become the more earnest in seeking the remission of sin and righteousness in Christ. Thus, the preaching of the law in the way of sanctification, wrought by the Holy Spirit in the heart of a child, that they become more and more earnest, that there may be a fleeing to that fountain of blood, that their sins may be pardoned, and that they may experience that sweet communion, Lord, with thee. Likewise, that we constantly endeavor and pray to God for the grace of the Holy Spirit. There it is implied what he read in John 15, verse 5, that without me ye can do nothing, so dependent. Oh, do we not read of that special prayer of the bride in the Song of Solomon 4, verse 16, that she is given to ask for the coming of the north wind, the blowing of the south wind upon her garden, that the spices may flow forth. Likewise, that we constantly endeavor and pray to God for the grace of the Holy Spirit, that we may become more and more conformable to the image of God. What an examination. What an instruction, Church of God. More and more conformable to the image of the Son of God, as we read in Romans 8, verse 29. Till we arrive at the perfection proposed to us in a life to come. Thus, a prepared people, a far prepared place. Thus, what our instructors, what they are writing about in the life of a child of God, to do less sin and to yet in our own eyes become the greater sinner. Is that biblical? Think of the Apostle Paul. Then I shall tell you how he has described himself in the letter to the Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9. Then he was given to write to the church that he was the least of the apostles because he had persecuted the church of Christ. In Ephesians 3, verse 8, then he has written more of self. Then he has written the least of the saints. Then in 1 Timothy 1, verse 15, when he has written to Timothy, then he has declared the chiefest of sinners. Then in this answer 115, then the instructors are given to declare Romans 7, all wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? But then he was given to thank the Lord Jesus Christ, who has given him the Victory Congregation. And now we have dwelt at the foot of Mount Sinai. And now we are ready to leave. And may I now ask you, each boy and girl, man and woman, how has it now been? How shall we now leave that mount? Shall we now leave different than when we have begun? Have we come to ourself? Have those arrows, boys and girls, if you would meet one of your friends tomorrow with a few arrows in his body, then that would be very painful. Then such a one would not walk so easy over the earth. I hope that there may be a few that have been wounded in the beginning, but not only in the beginning, because we must be cut off from our works. And now this 10th commandment, that it is as a final arrow. Oh, that we learn that we can never save ourselves, that by the works of the law no flesh can or shall ever be justified, and that by the first time, but also by renewal, each time by renewal, that we may be given to flee to that fountain of blood. Oh, then the instructors, then the end of the law, then they may be given to point to that precious mediator who has come upon the earth. Oh, he has fulfilled the law, obeyed the law perfectly for his church. He has paid the price. Do we not read in Solomon 130, the verses 3 and 4, Lord, if thou should mark transgression, who can stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Amen. Let us close. Lord, and now we are ready to leave Mount Sinai. And may we each examine ourselves, our lives, our hearts, how it has been, oh Lord. And may it have been used, and may thou be the after preacher, and may it also have been profitable for the people of God. Thou was given that we may commence another week, O Lord. We humbly ask thee, wilt thou care, wilt thou spare, wilt thou protect, wilt thou provide, place a fiery wall round about us, if it may please thee. May we be given to bear one another's burdens. Wilt thou remember in the home, at school, at work, on the way, wherever we are called to be, a guide in our thoughts, our words, and our deeds, keep us from sin and temptation. Then by renewal we commend unto thee everything that is planned in this week, Lord. Wilt thou remember the catechism classes, the confession of faith class. Wilt thou help the instructors. Wilt thou help the students. Bless thy holy word. Remember also when thy church may gather, when one of thy servants hopes to be installed and united to his congregation. Wilt thou grant many errands in hers. Wilt thou remember him together with his wife in the climbing of their years. Lord, bring us now safely to our dwellings and forgive us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 140, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3, God, be merciful to me. On thy grace I rest my plea. Plenteous in compassion thou, blot out my transgressions now. And what follows, Psalter 140, the first three stanzas. Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.